Do you want to do a sound check?
Mic check, 1, 2, 1, 2.
Oh, your headphones
are in. I hear everything.
You hear everything?
Can you hear my side?
Most importantly, I can hear you.
Most importantly, am I louder than Ken?
Speak.
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 Ooh. Together?
Suck at harmony.
Yeah. All right. Fuck you.
Oh,
okay. All right.
And
are we going?
Rolling.
We're on. All right. We're on.
Welcome to episode 21.
Can you hear yourself? That's the more thing. I feel I have to put it a little more in your direction.
No, I got it.
You got it?
There. Yep.
You can hear you?
Yes, I can.
You don't have to fight for volume or anything. You can just be yourself.
Yes.
And do it. So, we have a topic.
We do.
We have a new show.
Yes.
We had a listener comment.
We have a listener. Welcome, listener.
We have a listener. He's in Japan right now.
Oh.
And was quite pleased. Of course, I brought him over myself. But Brent has a listener, too.
You have a listener?
How could you forget? Listener who insulted me. Yes.
I don't remember.
Claimed. Oh, Brent, this is one of your listeners, and you're saying you don't remember? Claimed that I was derailing the conversation. We were trying to have a serious conversation.
Oh, yes, now I do recall.
And
you were derailing.
Because of comments about the intern.
Yes. Well, because we were trying to get focused on the show last week, and he kept fucking being belligerent and derailing. Or trying to derail me, and I keep having to focus.
Well, what it's done.
The show all about me, which, as we can all agree, was a fantastic show. But
what it's done is made me very self-conscious, and so now I'm very comfortable with your listener weighing in on your side.
And That's an old listener.
I'm gonna go get me a listener.
You should have a listener.
I'm gonna get me one. Yeah, I'll get one.
That's a guy that I've brought over from the Closet Geek Show. He's been around.
Okay, so who have you brought over?
I'm running
anybody. And yet, some of listeners, it's been known, have claimed to like the intern the best.
Well, you know, just add a different point of view, a little woman's side of things.
See, it's because she's a woman. Therefore, they like her better. This, you know, more appealing to listen to other than the grating of our voices.
The grating of your voices. I think some people are waiting for us to actually start the show. Should we start?
Yeah, sure.
So what was the thing that I had said that she wanted to know?
About her?
Oh, yeah.
I just want to get that out of the way.
You were wrong, Brent,
when
I walked up.
Well, you tell her. I didn't say
and
it.
You motioned towards me and you said, see?
Yeah.
Well, when we were having that discussion where he asked me to make sure that you don't try and trick him with your femininity and your
Logics. I showed up non-feminine tonight.
No, you trick him. He just talk with, you know, a breathy voice or something, and he does whatever. See? And he don't do it. You're going to screw him up. And
it's a double trick because he is the one who's getting off on this, and he's trying to pretend he's directing it.
Anyway,
I suggested
that you may, you know, try wearing a low-cut shirt again because that always seems to get him on your side. And then I was wrong. So I want to bring up the fact that he thinks you keep trying to trick him.
That's not.
And maybe he thinks you tricked him to even get on the show.
That is not true. Brent is the one who engineered this whole conversation. It had nothing to do with me.
You think I tricked you into letting me on the podcast?
Brent is making all of this stuff up.
I didn't engineer the whole conversation. You said you were worried that she tried to trick you with her.
I don't remember saying anything of the sort. About her trying to trick me or anything else.
All right. Well, I'm glad my
cleavage.
So we're gonna have to have like an opening theme or something over this and actually get all the started.
Because
I still don't think we've actually started the show. I don't feel we're in sync right now. I don't feel
you are super self-conscious today.
Yeah, you really are. I feel your self-conscious.
You can chill, dude.
I'm bored.
You're like a black hole of inward thinking.
All right, you carry on. You two talk for a while and I'll take a break.
All right.
Go ahead.
Oh, well, you sit there thinking about yourself? That's not good for you, man. I care about you too much to not involve
you. You had such a good month since we last recorded.
Yeah, is it because we're here? I'm sorry I'm ruining your life, Ken.
It's your friend brought on, the one who accused me of derailing.
Oh,
I hate to go back to that.
All the way in Australia. You don't need
My listener lives in Japan. But it's just that it made me question my sincerity, my own sincerity about this podcast. Because I like to say that I really want Gappage to succeed. I like this. I say this a lot. I believe in this podcast, Gappage. I really want it to succeed. And yet it seems it goes nowhere. I blame you in particular, Brent, for not doing any promotion or anything else.
This is all guys, Danae. I want the show to be better conversation. Yeah. I like this. Go on.
But seriously, I'm beginning to question whether it's true. And maybe I'm so happy with my own Dixon Jane's podcast that I really don't care about this one, and it's all a pretense. Remember before I used to say, oh, I want this one to be even better than Dixon Jane's. And now I'm beginning to think, Ken, you dirty, rotten liar.
But this is something, you don't care at all. It's completely different. You can't compare. This is a...
Well, you're right. You're on it. He's on it.
This is... We wreck it.
No, it's something new and unique. It's special.
It's a snowflake. It's not very good.
It's a unique
snowflake.
Exactly.
Okay, so we get a participation medal, but no gold medal.
So I'm just questioning your commitment. I was doubting my own. I'm trying to be sincere, and I'm trying not to sort of double, triple psych anybody here, including myself, by saying that maybe I'm not that invested in this show. I don't know. Maybe I'm, excuse me, just here to have fun.
No, you definitely,
I'm just here to have fun.
Okay.
I don't know.
Why not?
Right now, I'm not having much fun.
You're not having fun?
No.
Why? Why are you worrying so much about it?
Here's the problem. I'm thinking about the listeners. The one in Australia.
The one listeners.
In Japan. We got two listeners and I'm worried about them, you know?
But one said they liked it. One said they liked it, but they thought you were being belligerent. But you were drunk.
Okay.
But they liked
so one cancels
that.
Out the other. Right?
Yeah. I mean, there's going to be win-loses, right? It can't make everything. And
you can't make them all happy.
No. Anyway, it's not about me. It's about Dappage.
Yeah. Is it?
I think we should start the show.
We should start the show.
Yeah. Enough of this analyzing.
So
the topic that I thought would be fun to talk about is taking risks.
We're already on the topic?
Why not?
Whoa, that was fast.
Yeah, we're done. Catch up.
Come on.
I gotta keep up. Whoa, you youngsters, you're so fast.
Risks.
Yeah, all right, risks. It's about taking risks.
And I think there's lots of different types of risks. So I wanted to ask you guys what your most stupidest risk. I know that's not English, but we're going to go with it. Stupidest risk.
Well, see, my stupidest risk is also my bravest and my best risk.
That can happen. What was your best risk?
We're starting with me, I guess. All right.
Yes.
It's the one I'm most proud of. Excuse me, there's greetings of chairs and things going on. The old people.
Are they with us?
No, though they have their own. They do filthy things to each other. I don't know.
What?
It's another. It's a group. It's a special group. They come out. Old people who talk strange sex.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Well, I think we're getting comments from the peanut gallery. A little heckling going on, but no. The risk. I ignore it basically. It's good.
And yet you hear it all the way from Australia.
Sorry. So, are we?
We're
staying on the topic.
Yeah.
All right.
So yeah. I'm sorry to derail.
Okay. Well, yeah.
See, derailing it to prove to my buddy in Australia.
That
it's not just Ken that I'm an asshole.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. I'm running out of scotch.
All right. Insert some comment about how Janine is drinking. Oops. The intern is drinking scotch again.
I like it.
Yeah, it's good. I like the way you drink it, too. Knock them back, maybe.
Yeah, you need another one.
I know. I'm done. I need
Well, by the time I get around to answering this
question...
Why don't
we get service back here? That's what I want to know. Like, we're live at the Imperial, right?
You'd think.
Every month we show up here, somebody could come by.
They know the guy who was Dixon James is here.
Yeah.
You'd think.
You would.
Anyway... You know, is somebody going to have to edit this, or are we going to carry on the conversation?
Let's go on. Let's go. I asked you. I thought you were just waiting.
Yeah, but
I thought you were thinking about your idea, trying to form it into.
No, I haven't.
Tell me your best, stupidest, which happened to be your best risk.
A fellow in Tangier, Morocco, when I was traveling, 22.
This isn't your LSD trip.
This is my LSD trip.
Oh, okay, good.
But the fact that somebody...
Gambit. the old Moroccan gambit. And that's why I was hesitant to bring it up, but it fits the bill in terms of your best one and your stupidest one at the same time.
Okay, so what
happened? He just said, you want to try? I got some really good acid. You want to try it? And I had never done it before. I had done my hash and so on. And I realized at that time, whoa, this is a big decision. This is a professional drug smuggler, a guy who's bringing back 10 kilos back to Canada. Do I even trust this guy? I've only known him for a while. We're staying at the same pension. And he's saying, hey, don't worry. Like, he knows the people. He's buying good quality stuff. He's bringing it back. Don't worry about it. I know this stuff. And my partner, my traveling buddy, is saying, hey, it's nothing, man. I've done it tons of times. It's just fine. You'll love it. And I only realized later on that he's never done it before, and he freaked out. But at the time, I had to make that decision. Do I do it, or do I just sort of, well, play it safe? No, maybe not this time, guys. And I took it. It was a blotter. Probably the best acid trip I've ever had in my life, and probably the best acid, the purest. This guy really did know what he was getting. And that changed me. The fact that I took that trip. I am so happy. When I came back, I had creds. Yeah, not just that I go to Europe with my backpack. I got all the way to Morocco, and I dropped acid and hung out with drug dealers. So it gave me, you know, bragging rights when I went back to university. Holy fuck, man. I don't know anybody's been to Tangier. Eh?
You still have bragging rights for that.
And, but the thing is, it really did change me. It really sort of just took me over this line. Not just the trip itself, but making that decision, say, why the fuck not? Yeah, man, okay, I'm open to it. And I rode out, and that was a trip, like, with guns pulled on us on the beach and with strange, strange things happening, and I just sailed on through it. It's just like it was a trip to heaven. And so I'm proud of that, because had I not done it, I don't know how my life would have played out afterwards. I think it would have eaten at me and just, you know, shit, maybe I should have tried
that. If only
that.
I'd done
or if,
it.
Or, you know, why didn't I, you know? So that's mine, and I find that. Pardon me?
I can't believe you thought about it so much. Like,
well, I didn't at the time. It was a fairly quick decision. It wasn't a whole lot of analysis. The guy's offer, yes or no, you're on. But you break it down at the time. I have to decide at that time, yes or no. I didn't go back in my room and ruminate on it. I had to make a decision at the time. But I realized the importance of the decision at the time.
Because you called it the stupidest.
Well, because I might have. My buddy freaked out, had a horrible trip. And I might have been. You don't know when you're taking acid. You haven't taken acid before. You really don't know what you're getting into.
Yeah.
And holy shit, you're in Morocco with strangers. You know, is this really the best, safest time to
probably
be taking acid, you know? It turned out it was, but I didn't know that beforehand. So... That was mine, and I'm sorry. It's an old story. It's an old chestnut I bring back.
That's good.
But it was for me. It was. What was the topic of the question? What was the question?
Risk.
You're risk taking, and to me that was risk taking. And I'm glad I did it.
What about you, Brent?
Excuse me.
I'm worried that I don't have any exciting stories.
See, that's why I didn't want to go first.
No, it's not about exciting stories. I think risk taking.
Oh, you're so nice.
But
yeah,
it's...
I know what you're right.
Yeah, risk. Only becomes evident, I guess, after the facts. And I'm trying to, like, think back.
Or beforehand. Is there something that you've done that you've said, ooh, just like he did, like, ooh, I don't know if I should do this. This is a risk. It could be the stupidest thing, but people, you know, ooh. Sorry. Knocking over. I know.
Ah, Jesus Christ.
All right.
are we done with the sound checks? I don't know. You need to be still listening.
I knocked it over. Yeah. I've explained to the two listeners. Sorry, guys.
Yeah.
God, shut up. Leave me alone. I need a drink. How do I get service here? Don't you have a bell? Come on. You're
We could. Oh my God. We could pause the show while you get a drink.
No,
I think we'd better off doing that.
Really?
You're not going to get service back here.
Erg.
You could send somebody out. You know, call somebody from the audience, but I don't know if that's a wise idea.
Yeah,
I could go. I've had my bit. I could go and get you a drink. Jesus, if it's going to come to that.
Miss what I have to say.
I always listen to this show.
You'll send me comments based on things that I said while you were away.
No, never mind.
No, I'm fine.
Sure?
So yeah.
All right.
I'm sorry I knocked over the microphone mid your story. I didn't mean to derail you.
Yeah, I. What were we talking about?
Risk.
Stupid risk. I don't know.
Stupid risk. Yeah, something that you've done that you're like, ooh, I shouldn't have done that.
I don't know. Probably the first time I did E, not to be a one trick. Only with the show and it always being about drugs, but I was, I don't know, I got some from a friend and they
pressured me to do it.
This is the peer pressure they talk about in school, you know.
Oh my God, it was the worst. It was also
really,
my best
you
friend.
Actually were pressured to do
it. I was like older too. I was like 20, but still, it was just like the worst.
Peer pressure, really?
From one person, yeah, but she was cool. I was trying to, you know, get in her pants, so that'll make
it. Did you, as a result of E, do that? Because isn't it sort of be the horny drug, or?
I've not done so under the influence of E. It kind of messes with blood flows.
Oh.
So, yes, it does make you feel that way, but then, ironically, it messes with other things.
Cool.
It is. But then, if it also screws with your heart, so you can't then, like, double it up with, like,
that's
a why Viagra.
I can never be like, near it.
Have you ever tried this?
No, I haven't, and I'm kind of a little bit jealous, because I know, I hear such good things about
no,
it.
No, it's supposed to be all touchy, like,
I know.
Like that
I saw the Family Guy episode where
Peter totally like that.
Bro, that was so funny.
I have a friend when the first time she did some, it was almost exactly like just rolling around on the floor mumbling things.
But it does.
But
there are
aside
heart
from
issues
that,
they're not.
Yeah, there. Are,
there's what?
Heart issues involved as a possibility.
Yes, there's
a
possibility
heart.
Of heart issues.
Yeah.
So it should maybe be avoided.
Now, was it a capsule or pill or blotter? How was it administered?
It was administered.
And what was the risk? I want to know what the risk was.
That was sort of like my first foray, really, aside from a couple of joints in college.
You hadn't done acid or mushrooms
anything,
or.
No,
yeah.
I had a totally straight edge, as it were.
He was a goody two shoes.
I really was. I was the worst.
An Applebee goody two shoes.
I was. I really was. People would, like, final year would invite me out for a joint and like, chastise them. Like, I was a dick.
Was it a good trip? I mean, did you enjoy
it? Oh my God,
experience?
It was amazing. Yeah, I think I've all the other times I've had E since then. It's almost like chasing that first time.
Yeah.
So it was a risk worth taking.
It
stupid
was.
At the top. Possibly stupid.
Possibly.
Possibly
but I
stupid,
trusted
but
the
was good.
Friend who got them. But
so,
back then, when we first started doing it, she did the least amount of checking to see if it was good stuff. Once we started doing it, we knew how to look at stuff, avoid the bad stuff. You know?
And what's your drug story, Janine?
I mean, I do.
Could you stop with this? Okay, I do have a drug story that was a risk. That was.
Is it your
stupidest
risk? You shouldn't feel compelled.
You know, funnily enough, now that I'm thinking about, because you guys are talking about drugs, that yeah, it would be a really so. Mine was an LSD story,
okay.
And we were visiting a friend, and what we didn't know at the time was that he was house-sitting, or he was staying there, or we broke in. I'm not quite sure.
This is after you had taken the drug.
After
we had
taken, we were in this
there.
House, okay. And I think that somebody's friend lived there, but the friend wasn't there, so we had actually broken in. So we partied there all night, and, you know, did what you do on acid. But at one point, and it was in Burlington, it was near Waterdown.
What did you do on acid?
Laughed, you know, laugh and just exist. It's like everything's hilarious. You haven't done it.
No, not acid. But
yeah, okay, so it's just like, you know, just silly and laughing.
Yeah.
But at one point, we went up to Dundas, like Highway 5.
Yeah.
And it was dead, and we decided we were going to do bottle tokes. You know, bottle tokes?
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
it's a good thing to do when you're on acid, because you don't even feel it.
Yeah, no, I don't even know why we were doing it.
Yeah. But it's comforting.
It was comforting, but we decided to, oh God, this is such a risky, stupid, I'm embarrassed to even tell the story, but
oh, good, good. It's getting better all the time. I'm excited.
So we wanted to do this, and we were up at Dundas, and it was about 2 o'clock in the morning, and the risk we decided to take was we challenged ourselves to sit on the yellow line in the middle of Highway 5 and cook a round of bottle tokes for 4 of us before any traffic came.
That is dumb.
That reminds me of something I did that I've forgotten, and I'd like to replace my previous story as nothing to do with drugs.
Sorry. Okay, go ahead. Because that was to be stupid, risky.
Well,
that had no benefit. Like, you know, it was fascinating to me that, and at the time, what was going through my head was that we have
drug-induced risk.
We have this ability to control the events around us. That's what was in my head, that we could control this,
and no cars
and that we
are
could
come.
Create this bubble of safety and protection.
Yeah.
This is how
that's why they warn. This is why they warn people about taking acid.
Well, there was no label saying, warning, you might find yourself hit by a Mack truck.
Yeah. Anyways, well, good thing Art Link letter wasn't around.
Well, here to, you know, tell the story, but it was a pointless, stupid risk. And if I may finish the story.
Yes.
Out of total responsibility, we did completely... Oh, we also had a Chinese noodle fight after that. You know the soup with all the noodles? Yeah. You know the... Yeah, we
wet
got those
or dry?
Wet noodles and threw them all over the house. Only at the morning around 6 a.m. did I find out that nobody lived in this house that we were at, and I felt very guilty. So we actually cleaned the whole house, vacuumed it, got rid of noodles, washed the dishes, put everything.
When you're down from the acid, when you come down, you're still a little
bit
high.
We were still coming down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you get these little jolts. You're up, you're down, you're up, you're down.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's my stupid risk. Okay, so what's your new
advice? My stupid risk with also traffic danger. When I was in high school, or not high school, college, my friends and I sort of skipped out to go grab lunch at a certain place. I don't know why we left class early, but we left just to go have lunch at this place, and decided we would walk back to class, and this is when I was going to school at Sheridan at like their Trafalgar campus.
Mm-hmm. I lived up there.
What's that?
I lived up there.
Okay. Well, you know that bridge along the QEW that goes across 16 Mile Creek?
Yes.
I walked across that, along that, to get across the creek to get to school on time.
Well, it's not that bad.
Yeah, that doesn't strike me as replacing the...
Are you kidding? Are you kidding? There was no boundary. We were walking against traffic. Like, on the side.
Is it a one-way bridge or something?
No, I don't know.
It's like a QEW.
QE. It's like a six-lane.
Okay. So it's not a pedestrian. There's no pedestrian walkway.
There's no pedestrian walkway. Okay. It's right. Just so like walking through traffic through the busiest highway. Probably one of the... And have a fear of heights.
Oh, well, that'll do, because that's high.
We used to,
your dumb traffic story made me think of...
Well, and I got to give my dumb traffic story.
No, let's hear your dumb traffic.
Well, it's just
was
a quick
risky?
One. It was risky, because it was trying to judge when the trains were coming running across a railway bridge. Well, railway bridges made out of wood have just little alcoves, sort of, where you can sort of pull in to get off the track. Otherwise, it's very narrow, the width of a train. And so when you see a train coming, you want to know, can I make it to that next little gap where I can sort of pull off or keep going? And we would do that almost out of entertainment. This is it. So we did that more than once.
Yeah, we live near train tracks. And my lovely husband was saying, are we going to teach the kids to put pennies on the train?
Oh,
I'm like, no!
Oh, that was so much fun. It's illegal, too, right?
It is illegal.
Oh, yeah. You're defacing Canadian currency. You're not allowed to do that. But they were so neat when you got a big flat penny.
Well, why are you allowed to put a penny into a machine at Niagara Falls and it puts...
Well, because somebody's making money out of it, you know? I don't know.
No, I think that's also probably illegal.
It probably is. But they're just not going to enforce that.
Because that's the least of the illegal things that go on in Clifton Hill.
I think so. That's right. Are we still on
the
risk?
Okay, so on the
trashy thing ever.
You know, what I was interested in, why it sort of tweaked in my mind when you said, hey, what should we talk about? And it was just a flitting moment of risks. Because we do have, I think we make a ton of decisions in our lives that are risks. To different degrees. Now, most of the risks aren't sitting in the middle of the road on Dundas at 2 o'clock in the morning risking your life. But we do take risks, like emotional risks, chances. Freaking fuck, I'm taking the headphones out. We take these risks that affect the decisions that we make moving forward. And I thought risks was a really cool topic. So besides the stupid risk, like, what's the smartest risk you took that you didn't think was going to turn out maybe the way it ended up turning out because you took it?
I got one.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
I thought you would.
We were at, this is back in our smoking dope days and so on, we decided we wanted to get some mescaline. Back in 1972.
So I thought you were talking about like yesterday.
So we, well, 40 years ago, was that it? 40? So we drove to the Maples Inn, which was a bar along the lakeshore in West End, Montreal. It used to be there. It burned down. The Edgewater burned down. All the classic old hotels that generations before used to go to. We'd go there to dance and drink in Pointe Claire.
Oh, I grew up just outside of Pointe Claire.
Pointe Claire. It was the Maples Inn. It was on the Lakeshore Drive. We went in there, and we just asked around. Eventually, there's some guy, you know, long hair, has got some pills in his pocket.
You took mescaline pills?
Yeah, with capsules. I only knew
mescaline as powder.
It was powdered in the capsule, okay? But it turned out it wasn't mescaline after all. Thanks for, you know, ruining the story.
No, I wanted to understand what we're talking about.
Well, this is all we knew. So we went in and bought this. It was just kind of risky to start with. Hey, you know, you're asking around and you're strangers, are you get some. Get back into the car, and we're all looking a little freaky at that time. And as we're in the car driving back, we notice the Pointe Claire police come right up behind our car and are just tailing us. And we all panicked, like, oh, shit, man. You know, if they pull us over, we've got weed, we've got these pills. So Harold and I, who I've nicknamed the Barstool Buddha, decide the safest thing to do. We got three capsules each to share. Is we'll each take all three capsules now, so that we won't get caught with them. I don't think we were worried about the hash, or we'd be able to get rid of the hash or something, but we didn't want to get caught with these capsules. So we took them right then and there in the back seat of the car. You know, and probably the police are probably looking at guys from the window doing this. And we had a terrible bum trip. Like, we lost all control. We were down to the point where Harold had a pocket watch. He'd come back from Europe and he had a silver pocket watch. And we kept having to haul it out because we needed to coordinate space and time. We had no control of space because we were hallucinating. But if he could pin down a time on his watch, we felt just a little bit safer. Okay, what's the time? And we sort of shout out the time and feel, okay, all right, we got that part. Now what?
But you said it wasn't mescaline. What was it?
I don't know what it was. It was an overdose.
Yeah, whatever it was.
We took too much.
Because
it wasn't under our control, I think we freaked a bit.
It is horrible.
Now I look back on it fondly. That was fun. It's a real bonding between Harold and I, the fact that we stayed up all night and survived this trip. But it was also, you know, it's under the category of stupid, too, you know.
Yeah, it would be stupid.
But anyway, I don't know if that qualifies as risk. Maybe I just snuck that in there because I like drugstores. Sorry if I cheated a little.
No, that's a good story.
That's funny because I have a very similar mescaline story.
I still have the notebook, like with scribbles in it, but trying to, you know, coordinate it.
You didn't figure out any profound truths in the universe?
It was all about survival at that point. And I could go on and tell that story, but I won't at this junction.
So besides drugs, what other risks?
Getting married, in my case.
That's a big risk.
I was a huge risk, well, because everybody was against it. Because I was, I really hate to get into this story on this podcast. Because it's personal. My wife would hate it, but she's in Japan now.
Does she listen to Gappage?
No, she doesn't listen to
Nixon. Does her friends listen to Gappage?
No.
Well, you were talking about your wife on...
I have. Were we doing a category of good risks?
Good risks. Yeah, brave risks.
That was the bravest thing I've ever done in my life.
You looked at it this is scary, this is a risk, this could turn out really bad, but the end result was really
I knew
good.
It would never be bad, but I knew I had to persevere, and I had to go forward against the odds of somebody talking me out of it. My favorite image is finding out, like we were forcibly separated, my favorite image of finding out where she was in the middle of the night, somebody getting a phone call saying, okay, I found out where she is.
What do you mean you were separated?
Yeah, wait.
Well, we weren't allowed, we were threatening phone calls.
Now you have
calls.
To tell the story because...
There was a lot of opposition from one very strong, domineering person against this marriage, with threats against me, against my company, against a lot of other people involved. It was very scary. I used to, before I came home every day, I would have to stand on a corner and scout around to make sure no one's there, and then receive very. There was a lot of unpleasantness for a long time. And at one point, when I decided I wanted to marry her, I was down for a man who's now a professed atheist, praying to God, like, God, this is the only thing I want in life. I really need to find this person and marry this person. I don't ask for anything else. And I meant that was as heartfelt as I've ever been in my life. But I found out where she was and got somebody, woke them up, drive me to the station now. I was staying at somebody else's house in the countryside. Drive me to the station and got on a Shinkansen train, the old classic bullet train that zoomed past Mount Fuji. And it was the equivalent of the White Stallion riding off to find your wife. And I raced, and I tracked down where she was, and I finally got a map in the local town to find out what house she was at, and found her, and we ran away. We loped, we ran and picked her up, and we ran off to and disappeared for a week.
That's
on
awesome.
An island in Japan. Yeah, seriously, it's a true story. It was, to me, that was, it had to be done, but it was more a case of almost being tested and then knowing, challenging yourself. Yes, I'm right. Yes, I know this is what has to be done.
That's great.
Quite a few of those. So. I'm proud of that one.
Because it should be.
And we've just celebrated 25 years of marriage. She survived 25 years with me.
And you've been together for your 25th wedding anniversary.
As she left 2 days before that to head off to Japan. And I thought that was very fitting, too. She's back seeing her other.
It's a good story.
Yeah.
There was passion.
Good. What about you, Brent?
What were you talking about? Chris, I was enthralled by his.
I know, Chris. It turned out to be. Ooh, I just saw the guy at the bar.
Yeah.
He just stuck his head in, but he didn't come in and ask.
I'll run and get him. And what do you want? Scotch?
Scotch and soda, please. I'll pay him when I come out. So tell me.
He's gone. So risks. What are we talking about?
I'm talking about risks, like, you know, like, that was a really good risk, a positive risk. Are you taking risks? Are you scared to take risks? Are you not taking risks? Is there a risk that you thought about taking that didn't take?
Here are my thoughts on risks that I had. I'm thinking, A, there are a lot of risks that I take every day that have long-term consequences that I'm not seeing because risk is often only evident looking into the past. And then another thing I'm thinking is a lot of these sort of personal projects that I do, my DJ thing, computer stuff that I do, a lot of it doesn't have a, like, an end goal. It's just I'm doing this thing and I don't know where it goes. So I often wonder if a lot of those are risks on my time that I'm taking in that I don't know that they have an end, but they're mine, you know what I mean? Like, I could just go say, you know what, fuck it, I'm not going to do this one thing, and I'll go learn a language or learn how to do something or whatever, but...
Now, what about risks of the heart?
Like, risks of the heart.
No.
I don't take many of those often to be my own detriment, but I don't know, I'm sort of recently coming off of... realizing that I was holding myself back in a lot of ways in that area.
You need to take risks.
Yeah, I do. But I don't know, I sort of had something in my head where I didn't think I was worth it. So, but I've now knocked that out.
Ken, you're lovely. Thank you.
Did I miss anything?
Is it got scotch and soda?
Scotch and soda, isn't that what you asked for?
Scotch and
soda. Wonderful. I'm eating your peanut thing.
They're supposed to be there.
Now, I hope there was no lag that the show continued.
No,
and press the pause button.
And no, we kept going. I was asking Brent if he's taken any risks of the heart. Like yours. Yours was a risk of the heart. And he was saying that he hasn't.
I haven't
taken any risks and
yeah, well, not
like maybe
really.
He should
and maybe that's
risks.
Yeah. I don't know. I if I do anything, I prefer to have a blueprint as to how one goes about doing that, and risks of the heart have little blueprints.
There's a gapage, and that's what we should be exploring here as well. Because earlier, before we started recording, Brent was explaining he is a soft.
Oh, he was,
guy,
I was talking about
a hardware guy.
My old computer that's like 10 years old is dying, and he was telling me, how are you a computer guy that has an old machine? And I said, I care more about
well-functioning software rather than fast hardware, and that it's the software inside that's the magic. And then I was telling him that I had that thought recently, and then I was thinking about how I don't really take that good care of myself physically and all that kind of thing. And I'm wondering if that's an extension of this thought where I don't care so much about the physical and the hardware. It's the software of things that I care about, where I live in my head. And something that I didn't tell you, but I just remembered that came to me and I was thinking about this, is that I wonder if that's also related to the fact that I sort of have these disabilities with, like, physically that I was born with, and I'm wondering if that's also making me just be like, well, it's broken to begin with, just discount it.
I've heard you say that before, once before. It's an interesting theory. So obviously you've entertained that idea, you know, you've thought about that.
Oh, I've often joked to people that I'd like to replace my feet with wheels or something like that, or robot legs would be handy. So, but it, yeah, I don't know, I had this thought, and so yeah, the love thing seem maybe unrelated.
I'm just wondering if you've been a sort of approached with an opportunity for a risk and chosen not to take it. Like Ecstasy Girl, you said you didn't get into her pants, and I'm just curious, was that a risk that you didn't take?
Yeah, that is. That's a risk I didn't take, and actually that's the sort of issue I just came off of recently, having been hung up on a person for a long time, and then making like an intentional sort of break to say these are the things that I've noticed in our behavior between each other that makes me feel bad, because it's a thing that won't happen. Like, we flirt here and there or something. So I'm like, and it's never anything. Well, she's getting married, so it's never anything serious. But it's just.
Are you not pushing just a little here? Or is this?
It's,
are you comfortable with this?
I'm fine. Whatever.
He brought it up. I just asked.
It's flirty sort of talk, or whatever, which is totally innocuous. But the fact that I have such strong feelings for this person is that.
And she knows you have the feelings.
Right. So that, and we all thought we were fine, and then over a couple of years, it's at certain points caused me like actual physical pain.
Mm.
Ooh, that's when it's bad.
To be around a person that you love. So I'm like, I can't do this. So I had to sort of make a break. And I think, part of me thinks that the reason that I got into the situation where I got stuck pining for someone is because I didn't take a risk a long time ago.
The risk you might have taken at that point.
But I also, it's one of my best friends. Even all this stuff aside.
Well, here goes my idea.
What's that?
Well, I didn't get a gun. And he threatened. He just keeps doing this. I'm going to kill you or I'm going to kill me. But I just can't go on like this. Call her bluff.
I don't know if that is the most healthy way to deal with it.
No.
I got to take risk like you.
It's
That sounds like I'm on a trip on LSD in Morocco and I have this great idea kind of idea.
Those are the bad ones.
So when it comes to risk, I feel like I'm just coming out of I don't know if you guys know, so I've been depressed a lot lately, but I'm sort of come out of that. I feel a lot different over the last several months. Because, and I realized a lot of that was this hang-up on this one person that only came because I didn't take a risk a long time ago. I've missed all sorts of other chances. Who knows?
Well, you see, this is good you said that, because to me, there's no point in having this conversation unless we talk about the fact that there are times in our lives when we don't take risks, and we know we should, because that's what it's really about. It's easy to say, I took a risk, I did this, great, I'm so glad I did
it.
But it's the ones
out.
You don't take. And I think if we had younger listeners, or any listeners, for that matter, we'd sort of be encouraging them to, hey, for example, our listener from Japan, really, he only listened to my show because he listened to another Japanese show, and that guy, we got a bit of a dialogue, and he found my show through this other one. But he has this fascination for Japan. Well, finally, he's gone. He's in Japan now. And sort of line things up and push them. I don't know the degree of risk involved, but it's always It's always a risk. This is a decision, yeah, you know, to make that and give up whatever else you're doing.
Every decision we make is a risk, really.
It is, you know.
It's just degrees of it.
But sometimes it's just a question of going ahead, and I think the more you don't take risks, the harder it is to take any others. And once you get in the habit of taking the risks, and any successful people in the business world, whatever, would be the ones who are just, they thrive on it. Maybe there's an adrenaline rush to risks that you just keep pushing yourself, and then you just, maybe you need it more and more. Maybe it ends up, maybe it feeds on itself. Maybe it becomes counterproductive, I don't know. But certainly I think we're haunted by the risks we don't take more than the ones that we did.
Yeah. The ones that we did are always great stories, but the ones that we didn't are, boy. If only I'd, but it's too scary, if only
I'd. I was having this thought the other day about when you were saying an email earlier, let's talk about risk, and I don't have kids, but a lot of my friends are starting to have kids, so I find myself, when I think about something, I'll start thinking, well, if theoretically I have kids, how would I try and explain this concept, or this is how I feel about that, how would I try and convey that to someone else, particularly it's kids that I think
about. And that's a tough one, because parents' role is to teach their kids don't take risks, right? Don't do stupid things.
But here's what I was thinking, that I'm very risk-averse, and I find that... So you raise your kids to think that they can be whatever they want. It's also important to instill in them an idea that I think that in order to be what you want or do what you want or get, you're going to have to, that entails risks and stuff.
Yep, absolutely.
And I didn't take a lot of risks in order to get to the job that I have now and that kind of thing. I kind of just went along the path and the unhappiness that I have sometimes in life is sometimes, I think, related to the fact that, oh, if I took more risks before I got on a path, I'd really be happier with myself. And I'm... Is that a valid thought? Is it... You know, like, there's the easy path.
There's never an end to options for taking risks. Like, it doesn't
there's
stop.
No, there's
you
no
have
winning
to
life.
All your life.
I'm coming to the conclusion that there's no winning life, and that's awfully depressing. That's going to turn me into a nihilist, I think. But.
No, I think you gotta look at, you know, I have kids, and I don't counsel them not to take risks, but I certainly want to teach them how to evaluate the risks that they're taking and make decisions and live the consequences of whatever risk they take.
Can we hear you okay? I'm just seeing that because the noise level in the background is picking up.
Yeah, I'm not.
I'm a little worried. Especially if you're going to be seeing something worth listening to.
Wow, it is quite loud back there.
Yeah.
Tell me to shut up. Don't you have any clout here? No, all I was going
to
say is that...
To keep the noise level down, there's a podcast going on. Thank you.
Hey. Wow, you're really good.
Mm-hmm. Oh, look at that. That's the clout we were talking
about. All right.
About.
So, anyway, you were just talking about the children. Like, I mean, the one thing you teach your kids, don't get into a car with somebody who's drunk. Like, you just...
Yeah.
The regular things that are just... They're not even risks. They're just stupidity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And yet, the number of times me and my friends have... done such stupid things, like passed out behind the wheel of a car. I woke up overlooking the town of Merritt in British Columbia. Honestly, in a little Austin 11, I drove right off the road. I was woken up when I hit the steering wheel because the car wouldn't stay on the road. It was like a dirt road.
Oh, Ken.
It was a bar out in the country. It was the craziest bar. It was a ghost town, but there was one bar left. There was an old guy. It's like something you'd see on TV. He had a feather in his... He wore a cap with a feather in it, and he had a wife, and they fought the whole time. And the town would come out to sit in the bar and listen to the husband and wife who ran the bar...
Fighting.
I really wish I could remember. It was Colmont, British Columbia. And you'd go in there, and you couldn't leave. It was the weirdest thing. And you'd get drunk, and then,
sounds
of course,
like
you got to drive to the next campground. Well, I missed the campground entirely. Ended up in my car up on a hill... overlooking the town, and that was just stupid. But you see, the other thing about risks, and here's my point, is you have to believe you have guardian angels who are looking out for you. And some of us, I'm one of those people, believe that I've always got some either good luck or positive force or something. Brent, you don't seem to be paying attention now. And I'm getting
sorry,
a very important point right now.
I was just acknowledging a friend of mine that came in the room. I told him to come because you have incited shit to say that I'm now ignoring.
Yes.
Incited up.
Yes.
Bitch.
Could you repeat back what I just said?
No.
No, you couldn't. Do you listen to this show? Do you listen to this podcast, Brent?
I listened to the last one. It was called
Yeah, because it was Brent's show. Asshole.
Here, I'll get some.
It was called Ken's show. You wouldn't. Well, I'm just. I was.
Spicy.
Our listeners are saying, "Hey, we already heard it." But my point was, if you have a little bit of faith and you believe in guardian angels or good luck or somebody's looking out for you, you are more. Brent, I'm still talking to you.
I'm listening.
You are more inclined to take risks. So, in other words, it's a positive attitude. You have to believe a little bit. And if you don't have the faith, you're not going to take the risk because they become too scary. Am I right?
Absolutely. In my 20s, I had a saying, and it was simply, I don't see any reason why I can't do it.
That's short-sighted.
That was stupid.
I started
a business. You didn't sound very imaginative.
When I was 21, I started a business, and I couldn't think of any good, compelling reason why I couldn't start this business. But it was risky.
Good thing we didn't know each other, then. Because I can come up with good reasons not to do anything. And that's the problem.
I'll listen to people, but I'll still do what I want. And it was a good decision. It didn't succeed, but it taught me a lot.
So there you go. My whole turning point in my life was my father trying to talk me out of going to Europe when I was 21, saying, no, finish your university first. Finish your university, and then go when you're done. And I knew, no. This time, I have to go.
Don't you just sometimes have the gut feeling like this is the right thing to do?
The right thing to do. And it's a matter of knowing yourself and having some faith in yourself. And do it. And like to stand up to my father at that time.
Yeah.
And when he recognized, this is the thing that to me, the beauty of that was when he finally recognized that I wasn't going to turn around, that I had made up my mind. He just swung right around and was so proud of me and behind me. Helped me, bought the backpack or whatever it was, but was really, and treasured the letters, the aerograms I would send back from Europe as I was traveling around, because he just, okay, I called your bluff, I tested, almost like I tested, how strongly you're convicted on this. And the friend I was supposed to travel with, his parents said, no, you shouldn't go. And he changed his mind. He didn't go. He backed out. He was going to travel. And to this day, I'm so glad he listened to his parents and I didn't listen to mine. Because going off on my own was a far, far better experience than going with the buddy who I would have at the time.
And does he have regrets about not?
No. He had his life mapped out from the time he was 12 years old, and he's lived it. He's perfect. He's got a Mercedes, a classic old maroon Mercedes. He's got a cottage in the country in the Laurentians in Quebec. He's got a house. He's got a wife, two lovely grown daughters. He's got everything he ever wanted. And that trip really wasn't important. To me, that trip is when I did the acid trip. And that trip was me finding myself as an identity as a young man, a traveler, a person willing to take risks. And his was, no, I've got my eye on this dream, and I'm going to have my dream. So he's very successful. You can be successful without taking risks. He went the cautious way, and it worked for him, because that's what he wanted.
But he took different risks. He probably did other things that might have been deemed risks. I don't think you can live life without taking risks. I don't think people appreciate the power of the risks they take. Getting out of bed, leaving the house is a risk, for crying out loud.
Sure. So we should be encouraging our children to take risks, but be careful.
Just calculate it. I don't want my kids to be sheltered. Do you know how many kids I see that are super sheltered?
From parents who didn't take
nervous
risks.
Parents who don't want to risk anything for their kids, and they're sheltered, and it's scary.
I have a second cousin whose mom that I actually know really well, because I kind of grew up with her. She's a cousin of mine, and she won't let her kids play like any sport, anything. Like, ball hockey was out, because hockey wasn't allowed. And then that wasn't allowed, and then football, and not soccer, like, nothing.
Because it's risky.
It's risky.
Might get hurt.
Yeah.
Might fall over.
Well, you'd hope that those kids would just learn to break away from the parents at one point or another.
I hope so.
Were there other categories of risk? Have we sort of covered the game? And
I don't know what else.
I thought it was a great topic.
Risk of the heart.
The one thing I did want to, one last thing I thought I had is I find myself taking risks, sometimes stupid risks, out of boredom. Is that good behavior?
Here's something. Have you finished? Sorry.
I'm done.
You're done.
Is that good behavior? So.
I am going to say, I don't know how it fits into the risk category, but you did make, earlier on, referred to your physical disability, the fact you have. And I don't know, I think I've said this before on the show, and I will say it again. I think you're incredibly brave. I think you just carry on like, well, so, all right, this is me. And to, I have so much admiration for you, for the fact that you just motor on. This, Brent, this is who I am, this is the guy, you put yourself out there, you're not hiding away in some corner, oh, poor disabled me. You're out front. And I admire that. And I don't know if how you'd categorize that as risk, but I do think there's some risk involved in that. A bigger risk than me popping an acid pill somewhere. I think that's far braver.
Well, I suppose the alternative would be to do nothing. I mean, like,
well, hide away.
To me, perhaps it doesn't seem risky because it's that or... Like, it's tough to walk around, or you're not going anywhere, so therefore walking around is always tough. But, like, it doesn't seem risky to me because it's just...
Because you're doing it.
Because I do it because it's just that much more effort to do, like, just walking or whatever, going out and doing things. It doesn't seem like risk to me because it's... normal. So that's my
yeah, but
that's
you see what Ken is saying from his point of view, it is so you should look at your life and think, because you sort of started this with I don't take a lot of risk, I'm really cautious, but maybe you're not as cautious as you think. You've just gotten
point.
Used to it.
Perhaps. You don't see it because it's
hard. Perhaps I am super overcautious around my younger brother. I've managed to chain that off as he's grown into an adult, but I still have like panic attacks when he's like, what? Like, we'll be like waiting for a subway, and he'll be like standing like near the edge, like looking for a subway, and he'll start freaking out like it did when he was a little kid and would do that. So. It's I don't know, maybe I do take more risks than I think, but I always feel like I'm always on the edge, trying to, like, always scared of things. So. I don't know. I don't feel brave.
Well, there you go. Tried to give you a compliment.
No?
I didn't mean it anyway. It was being nice to the cripple guy.
Ken, I was so impressed.
Oh, man.
I thought, is he going to get to the end?
This guy should be locked up in a house, you know.
Is this guy going to get to the end?
He should be out.
Yeah, thumbs up for Waramps. You guys are terrible for laughing at that.
Okay, right.
She's very touchy feely tonight, all right?
Yeah, she is.
She's very. No.
Sorry.
All right. Our listeners aren't appreciating the fact that you're fondling Brent.
Sorry.
So, are we done? We're out of drinks? Or we,
I did it again. Sorry.
Is it still recording? Yeah, we got 52 minutes. That's about
that's wrapped it.
Up. Some
that's
concluding words. It's an episode. We always put in a song.
Yep.
Last time we called it Brent's show.
Oh, I thought it should be Snowflakes.
Risk. Snowflake?
Yeah. We're all unique snowflakes. Not necessarily good.
Snowflake.
Yeah, it's a unique snowflake of a name. We'll think of something.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I was...
You don't like Snowflake?
It's early for Snowflake, isn't it? I mean, it's, you know, come on.
It's November.
It's November.
Oh, I totally didn't mention this, and no one brought it up, and now I'm upset. I shaved off my mustache before I came out.
I knew something was different.
Did you have a
mustache? I just remembered. I looked at it, I'm like,
oh, because everybody else
is looking pretty good. And then I went and did this. I'm like, oh, it's gone.
Everybody
and that's
else
been
is
true
doing
for like four
you know what?
Hours.
I shaved mine off too.
I missed a spot.
Everybody else was doing November, so you decided to shave.
You did the opposite.
Right?
Yes.
Yes. All right, Snowflake. Yeah, I think it
all right,
sucks.
Fine.
Risk.
Don't use it.
Risk.
Take a risk.
Something on risk.
Take a chance.
Take a chance and use Snowflake as the episode title. All right, so that's 21.
I dare you.
Wraps up 21.
Gappages.blogspot.com.
I always end up choosing the song because I always end up doing this thing. But if either of you want to send me a song, you have to physically send me a song.
I stopped doing it because you don't like any of the songs.
No. If you think it fits, if you feel in your heart, Brent, if you're willing to take that risk, to say, I think. If you're brave enough to say, I got a song that I think it's really going to be. I don't think you have the balls to do it, Brent.
We got a challenge.
I'm brave enough.
You have to do it.
I find I'm brave enough.
Send it to me.
patronize.
Me first. Right. Me first.
Yeah. Don't patronize.
We'll come to it. Yes. Shut up. Stay out of this.
Camaraderie. It's a team effort. You're not joining with the team. You need
okay,
to.
Okay, you have to go with whatever we pick.
Whatever.
Okay,
whatever you guys pick, I go with it. All right. All right, listeners, if it's a shitty song at the end of this, I had nothing to do with it.
You are. Look at you. You're not even willing to take. You're not even taking any kind of responsibility.
Snowflake.
I take responsibility for the title of this podcast.
Yes.
Snowflake.
Okay.
You are
it.
Just a flake.
So that's it.
I don't.
That was pretty good.
Not.
That was okay. It wasn't great.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, the flake thing.
Flake.
We got that.
Yeah. There's got to be something. You got to do a play on it. Risk flakers. Risk flakers.
Risk flake. That
risk flakers.
Risk flakers.
Risk flakers. Let's do it.
Risk flakers.
Yeah, that's,
you know,
a new term. This is the risk that people didn't take. The risk flakers.
Oh, there we go.
And that's I call that a team effort.
Yeah. That's
although Brendan had a lot to do with it, but
risk
still,
flakers.
It was a team effort.
Oh,
he got it.
Yeah.
And if he gets it, our listeners will get it.
No. I got it. And then it hit real home because then it made me think of flaking out on asking a girl out, and I'm going to get drunk tonight. All right.
Ask a girl out. I challenge you before the next podcast. Here's the thing.
We got challenges?
Well, why not? Shut up.
Homework.
Jesus. And for our listeners.
Date. No, nothing for the listeners.
Our intern has a podcast and a challenge for you, too.
And if you're wondering why Ken has a broken arm for the next one.
I like how your voice changed.
Well, because it's so sucky.
It's such the worst. It's the
it's
worst.
Like, it's like I'm back in primary school
girl.
And the girls. Yeah, exactly. You're such a girl.
It's the worst impression. You're such a girl. She is a girl.
I know.
I am.
I know. He's
you know,
so
you wouldn't know from what she's wearing today.
Oh, my God.
Can you stop objectifying the intern?
You're a dog, man.
You're in trouble.
Yeah, all right. I got you that last scotch and I got punched for it.
I said, don't objectify the intern
oh,
and I can hit.
Well, I mean, it seemed like I needed
it, it was.
He was the one who brought up the cleavage remark. That's it. Right.
That's true.
That's
I don't
it.
Have any cleavage.
I know you don't.
Is that a prerequisite for me being
well,
so I don't look like a boy?
Yeah. Yeah, could be.
Jesus.
If you like. If you're comfortable with it, sure.
Brent,
anyway.
What would you say?
What would I say?
Yeah, right.
I'm good.
Yeah.
I think I need to reinstitute Anthony.
All right. I think it may be a good idea. All right,
end this one.
End this one. We'll end this one. You guys pick the song. We got the title, Snowflake. No, Snow Faker.
No.
Snow Takers.
No.
Risk Flakers.
You're a risk flaker.
Is that what it was?
Maker, love taker. Don't you mess around with me.
Yeah, was that what it was? Risk flaker?
Risk flaker.
Yeah, all right. Good. That's a good show.
Good show.
Thanks, guys.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
See you at 22.
Yep. Bye for now.
Bye bye.
Come back next week, next month, whenever.
Goodbye.
I like that cackle.
Like
I like that.
That
see you
like that,
that rhyme. That was pretty good.
I like that
see
cackle at the end, too. The cackle was nice. Can you do another cackle?
I'm not going to cackle.
It's Halloween is over. Did you have a Halloween cackle?
No.
Did you do anything Halloween? We
didn't
even
talk
about
Halloween.
No, come on. It's done. It's past. I'm just commenting today. It's so shitty when people talk about events that are already over.
All right, who
gives a fuck about Halloween?
What?
Who gives a fuck about Halloween? It's over.
I think he called it something else.
I heard something.
All right, so I missed my words. All right.
I know what happened. No, I heard like cuntween or something.
Oh,
I was like, what?
Jesus.
You
we
had
to bring
said
that
shit
in.
That word yet.
Had to bring that in, didn't you? Cuntween. What a dirty fuck.
That sounds like an awesome holiday.
Yeah. We got to call me in on that one.
I'll say to you is this. watch.